still streaming. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Wednesday. It's 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan, Creepy E, Big Dick Toledo. And here we go. The heat is on. In a perfect week, we have started our Operation Hydration once again. We'll begin this week. We're ready to go. We've got drop-off points all over the place. Our friends at Lerner and Rowe have helped us out. They're going to match a whole bunch of stuff. Buddies out at Larry H. Miller, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and Surprise are a drop station. We're going to have virtual drops because Eric can't touch you. You guys will accidentally kill him or purposefully. Nobody's judging.
Hey, now.
Can't have the van go out. We can't touch you. We can't meet you. But the heat relief stations are starting to open up, so our Operation Hydration is going to be a little bit adjusted this year, but still need to do it. You can drop it off here at the station as well. Just throw it at the front door, and Ariel will come out there and grab a pallet of that water and stuff it right there in the lobby.
I've seen her lift a pallet.
She can drop a whole pallet on one. Yeah, just one arm it. Just have a soda in the other hand. Very strong girl, so it's okay. You guys can put that together. Beautiful. We've got our Operation Hydration ready to go because it's going to be like 109, 110 today. And that's warm. That's so warm that your blackface will melt right off, Brady. You can't go around blackface in this city.
We have some of those pictures?
Well, I tell you, Phoenix is one of those deals where it's going to be tough to go in blackface in the summertime. The zoo's open, and what I used to love to do as a kid was blackface up back when it was okay, you know, and then head on over to the zoo in June, and we'd wander around and just melt like chocolate in the sun, and it was a wonderful thing. But nowadays, can't wait for that to come back to haunt me.
Your childhood was
need a
different.
Better
it
base.
Was totally different. You need a stronger base, a sweat-free base. Yeah. I mean, we'd go and we'd do impressions of individuals. I'm torn on this Jimmy Fallon thing because I don't like Jimmy Fallon. So it's like, man, get him. And then I'm like, yeah, but he didn't do anything. And then he apologized, which is the round full I am wrong and I am an idiot apology came out yesterday for something that happened in the year 2000. I saw it yesterday.
And
I'm like,
SNL's
remember when I said that yesterday? I was like, huh, they're coming up with a Megyn Kelly argument against Jimmy Fallon again. And we didn't really do anything about it yesterday because I'm like, that's weird. That seems like a strangely timed thing. But then it caught fire yesterday, and all the news organizations said Jimmy Fallon's blackface sketch unacceptable. I'm like, where were you guys in 2000? And it isn't blackface. He's doing an impression of one person. If Chris Rock's mad, he can apologize to Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Outside of that, he didn't say, that's what all black people look and sound like. That's blackface. Blackface is making fun of a race.
But is he a hypocrite? Because I don't know for sure. I didn't hear it, but you said he went after Megyn Kelly a little bit?
I didn't. No.
Like Jimmy Fallon?
No. Megyn Kelly was the reason this happened. Somebody said.
And she was talking in general for Halloween.
This was a while ago. Yeah. But yeah, they basically, NBC basically was looking for a reason to fire Megyn Kelly because the numbers and the things they put her in weren't working. And then she did a thing on her show about blackface and Halloween. And one lady had was Diana Ross. And she had a little darker makeup on and got blown up. I forgot who it was. But she got blown up on – this is 3 years ago.
Right.
Online. Everybody went bananas and said, you can't do that. That's blackface. And Megyn Kelly questioned on her show, how's it blackface when you're paying tribute to somebody? How's that the offensive thing? Explain it to me. And then she said, because I don't think what she did was really that bad. Well – the headline said, Megyn Kelly thinks blackface is okay.
Yeah.
Which is not what she said, in fairness. But they were going after her in the first place, looking for a reason to fire. Well, somebody, for whatever reason, brings it up the other day and says, Megyn Kelly gets fired from NBC and this was okay on NBC. And they bring up Jimmy Fallon's 2000 sketch of Chris Rock, where he's in blackface. And Jimmy, here's the other weird part about it, is Jimmy has to apologize for his decision to do this. And I'm like, what about every writer, every makeup person, Lorne Michaels, every producer on the show?
No, this was all Jimmy.
The camera people. Not one person stood up and said, I can't believe this is a thing, and I have to take a stand. Nobody said a thing. The audience laughed. The media was nice the next day.
Great skit.
There were things that people wrote the next day that Jimmy Fallon's spot-on impression of Chris Rock kills. You know, it's an impression, and there's plenty of times that's been going on. If you're doing a single person, an impression to sound and look like a single person – you have to do that. So now, I mean, can men dress as women? Is that a thing? Or can you can't
be
Asian.
How far does this go?
Where do we go? Where do the dominoes
stop falling?
Well, I just
want apologies from Caliendo.
That's what a texter says. John, you work with Frank a lot. When is he going to apologize for Barkley? Will someone make it?
I demand it.
I tell you this right now. I told Frank yesterday, I said, here's all you need to do, Frank. Let me write your apology for you.
He can come on our show and do it.
I said, just save this and read it when somebody says finally, hey, Frank, you're wrong for for doing that. Now, first off, Frank used to go to he went to like he did James Brown, Jim Brown, on the Fox on NFL.
Yeah.
And they put the makeup on him, and the makeup guy put it on, and Frank's like, this is dark. And he goes, you look just like him. And he goes, it's dark. He asked James Brown before, do you mind if I do this? And he's like, no, absolutely. You're doing everybody else. Why not me? And he's like, okay, so I just want to let you know. The makeup was so good that the next time he saw him, he didn't know it was Frank. And his mother demanded pictures and tapes of it because she thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. So she's like, my God, I never even knew that. So I told Frank, I'm like, you can't apologize if they ever did come after you. All you have to say is, basically, if any of the people that I did, I sat next to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley actually said, it's not racist, it's racial. There's a difference. One is going after a race, one is just dealing with race. But I said, yeah, if any of the people I put makeup on and did an impression of are mad at me for that, I'll apologize to them individually. But if anybody else demands a blanket apology from me, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pander to the masses that say I have to do what they want. So to the general public, go yourself. And if Charles Barkley or Jim Brown or anybody else I've done that with wants an apology, then I owe them an apology. And that's it. But Jimmy Fallon yesterday came out and said, I made a terrible decision in 2000. There's no excuse. Thanks for holding me accountable. And what infuriates me, if I were Frank or anybody else, is that he didn't stand up for comedy. He didn't stand up for the art of impression. He didn't stand up for
it. I just wanted to go away. I just wanted to go away.
He just basically said, everyone who's ever done it is wrong. Instead of just saying, hey, guys, it's over. A, it was 20 years ago. B, no, I'm not going to apologize to you. You weren't mad then. Why are you mad now? And nothing's retroactive like that in life. You can't do that. You know, there's a statute of limitations on crimes that don't go 20 years. This is not one of them. So, and then what do you do now with Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel was, you know, Karl Malone, and he made Karl Malone. It wasn't an impression. It was Karl Malone's the dumbest black guy on the planet.
Right.
And where's that one? So, and where's, you know, Adam Carolla stood right next to him? Where are the producers of that show? When does this end? Even, I think it was Sean Wayans or Marlon Wayans, one of them, said yesterday, he's like, guys, it's over. He did an impression of Chris Rock, and it was actually really, really good. He didn't do anything wrong. So knock it off. Comedy is supposed to have art involved. What do you do when, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to get attacked by mentally retarded people? You know, and they're saying Robert Downey Jr. is in Tropic Thunder. Is in trouble for this. And I'm like, that's the joke.
He was in trouble at the time.
That was the joke. The movie pointed out how wrong it was, what he was doing.
And even he talks about it.
Well, he's apologized.
He did an interview saying about that whole character. And
yeah, and isn't it something?
He's got pressured. You need to.
Isn't a proper apology for this kind of thing where you come out and go, yeah, 20 years ago we did that, and I wouldn't do it now because there's too much heat. That's called evolution. That's called growth. So I guess that's all you need to know.
Well, here's my question, though. If there isn't heat, then wouldn't it just keep going on?
No, because there wasn't heat. It stopped.
No, I'm talking about right now. Like, there's been heat the last year or two.
Right.
Right? So without the heat, people continue to do it.
But it's heat for things that had none. If you do it now, everybody kind of knows, we don't do that anymore. It kind of trickled away. If somebody did it now, you'd be like, that's terrible. You can't do that. The writing's on the wall today. But you can't dig around 20 years ago and go, oh, this guy who has had zero bad things in his life outside of the little drunk problem he had and cutting his own hand is now all of a sudden, the criminal for this.
But let's be honest.
No.
Not much is going to happen here. Jimmy Fallon's going to apologize.
Yeah, loses his job.
Like his apology.
Everything's going to move on forward.
Maybe. But you see, you don't see it from a perspective of where somebody can take things away from you. And that's the thing. Like, sponsors or anything else can be taken away.
Yeah, in the future.
If you've ever lost anything because some idiot has made a phone call, you start to see it from a different perspective. And especially on something they didn't understand. And that's who's handling it. It all now falls into someone else's hands. When you do something and it falls into the hands of another person and you sit back and wait, it's not good. It's never a good quality way to say, all right, Eric, 12 years ago, I didn't like what you said. So sit back and see if you have a job tomorrow.
I'm not saying it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, the more call-outs we get, the farther down people are more used to it. I don't think everybody's going to be losing everything.
No, you
every
don't lose
time.
Everything. But
it's going to get a little
how
less
far
impactful.
Back, but see, that's what they said before, and it's become more and more scrutinized. Where before it was like, that's the past. We can't do anything about that. And now, with all the people wanting to rehash everything, what have you done? What have I done? What has anybody done in their past that is now retroactively wrong today? that you can sit back and say, all right, well, I didn't like that. I don't like that now. It didn't bother me then, but I don't like that now. And now I'm going to make a stink about it. And you can say it's blackface, you can say it's something else, but it's going to be something else. The more sensitive and the more apologetic we are towards things that didn't bother anybody in the past, make them relevant now. Jimmy Fallon's apology is the problem. We've said that a million times. Jimmy Fallon's saying, I was so wrong, this is so bad, now makes the people, and they did.
That's what I don't understand.
In every article yesterday, they went out and said, well, now Lorne Michaels is a target. And let's go back and see what Lorne Michaels has been. Chinese jokes, Mexican jokes, black jokes. He had the N-word on there several times early on in the show. I mean, where do you draw that line now? Now you got to say, well, Lorne Michaels has a history, a track record.
Right.
Even though he's grown and evolved out of it, they can go back and retroactively say, this guy's a bad guy. And what he is a legend. What he is somebody that should be revered for understanding comedy at the time and evolving. Look what he's done with Saturday Night Live over the years. And people don't like it now. But the audience he's going for isn't the same. He's the Vince McMahon of funny. The guy has
been
evolved.
Able to adjust.
He's evolved before people said evolve. He's moved the show in a different direction before anybody said it needed to move.
You just have to
brilliant.
When you it's the way they apologize is the problem.
Yeah, the blanket
more
apology.
Than anything.
That
it's like it was. You mentioned like this was a different time. There was a lot of stuff involved. If I offended anybody, I do apologize. But it's not. It's not about that.
I think for this particular thing, if you offended the person you're doing, you apologize to them. Otherwise, you don't owe anybody anything.
And it's the hypocrisy of false outrage, because if Norman Lear isn't held to the same standard for what he did and considered a legend, so is Lorne Michaels.
Mel Brooks,
all of that stuff. Yeah. Nobody's going retroactively on Norman Lear.
It's the pick and choose mentality of who are we going to get? And this has nothing to do with Jimmy Fallon. This is, and again, everybody will go liberal this, liberal. No, this is a right-wing publication that said if Megyn Kelly's in trouble, this guy's in trouble. And that's the dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Is that if, let's say, Brady screws up today and says something and I don't do anything about it, then they go back in my history because, so every Brady team, like, well, we got to get rid of Brady for that.
Yep.
And then they're like, well, what about you? And I'm like, no, wait a minute. I had nothing to do with Jimmy Fallon and Megyn Kelly just happened to work under the same umbrella. That's it. That's it. And it's almost like saying Kevin and Bean made a racist joke in 1998 when Tripp was in charge of K-Rock. Let's take a look at what Tripp's doing
that's
now
what I don't understand.
And dig around in what I'm doing.
The
saying,
thing
oh,
that doesn't make sense is one media outlet reports it, and that's heat.
No. Like, this was everywhere yesterday.
Well, no. It starts at one spot. It starts in one spot.
Yeah.
And so people see that maybe they get clicks for it or whatever. So they all pick it up, and it spreads like wildfire. And it's all starting. Why are we listening to these idiots? Why? Just because the media puts it out there, we have to abide by that rule?
That, again, is one of those deals where I have to go to the idea of, like, that's just the way things work. I can't explain it. I don't know why. But that is now the new way things work.
And it's nothing original because it's always said.
It's strange.
Yeah,
but LaVoy said that, well, if you're going to look at that person, why don't you, even when the Megyn Kelly thing came out.
Right.
But the news has always been that way. When somebody has a story, everybody else will glom onto it because they want it for their news.
That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it
the
way
what
it
I'm
should
saying
be.
Is Walter Cronkite was that way too. When he would present a story, everybody else would come up with their own angle on that same story.
I know.
Because it's got legs.
It doesn't matter.
Well, that's true of everybody.
It doesn't matter because everybody...
No, it doesn't.
There are
if we really sit back and look at it, it doesn't freaking matter because it's our fault. We're the ones that jump on the bandwagon.
In a way.
We're the ones that start... Hey, we see a story, we're like lemmings. Oh, I'm going to jump off that cliff and make a comment too. Now I'm pissed off.
But it's not even the comments. I think Toledo's right. When news has always had a thing where it's like, ooh, this has legs, we have to be on it.
And they all news outlets have it. Pick it up.
It's the same with everything. Yeah. If there's a successful thing, there's 10 copycats coming within seconds. Because
they're the ones that start the outrage.
Look, that's music. That's entertainment. That's news. That's everything that we consume as individuals. It's like, I want more of whatever this is. I want more angles on this. I want to hear multiple sides of this. I want to hear the same thing over and over. That is true that it's us, but that's where money happens. I mean, copycatting is everything. That is every song. I mean, Rage Against the Machine has Sleep Now in the Fire. The next thing you know, you got four or five very poor bands trying to sound like that because that's what record producers are like. We're going to go get ourselves the next Rage Against the Machine.
And they suck.
And a lot of times they do. Sometimes you'll find a little thing. I mean, with grunge, basically they took every band that they could get to play three chords and destroyed an entire genre of music as fast as they could. They did it with gangster rap. They did it with regular rap. They do it with today's mumble rap. as many times as you can find something that's the same that will sell even a little bit. They don't have to be monsters. They're not looking.
It's all about the first one in, too.
Nobody's looking for the big superstar. They're looking for the next dollar bill.
Yep.
So if you can give me a song, I don't care about your career. Mm-mm. If you can give me something that sounds like Post Malone, you're signed. You're getting that song out. I'm going to milk you as much as I can and then throw you away later. And it's the same with information. Information is the same. That's interesting. We have to find the
interest. The thing to me that cracks me up, I don't think there really is outrage out there.
There
is. It's all manufactured outrage.
Completely.
There's not. You go talk to some guy on the street. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't think it's outrage.
No, but here's real outrage.
It's social acceptance.
Media made outrage.
Here's the thing. It scares
perception
money.
scares the crap out of money.
So I don't think it's outrage to the point where people are storming around. I think it's one of those things where Tripp, our boss, now has to look around and go, anybody looking at us?
And that's where
he's not outraged. He's worried.
We've had this discussion before. That's where the corporations need to step up and go, it's not a big deal.
But that's the thing. But the other
they
corporations.
Bow down as soon as the
and
one.
And hopefully this is the case where
out.
It happens. Yeah. That he apologized. It goes away. No one, says,
he's
all right,
apologized for it three times.
I know.
Because they did it when Megyn Kelly was out. And it's basically nobody's mad at Jimmy Fallon. They're mad at NBC. And the people who love Megyn Kelly are like, why do you have this guy? And they have a valid point. But it's this whole gotcha, you get one of mine, I get one of yours, Al Capone type thing. Where, it's like, oh, Megyn Kelly's fired because you didn't like her? Well, I do.
I have to think.
So I'm going to attack somebody else.
They were looking for a reason.
They were. Sure. Absolutely. But if they were too cowardly. And the reason they wouldn't fire again is money. She had a $69 million guaranteed contract unless she screwed up.
Right.
So, and so they looked for an opportunity. They looked for a reason to get her. Instead of just having the guts to say, we overpaid Megyn Kelly, we screwed up, they sat back and said, maybe it works, maybe it works, maybe it works. If she steps in anything, she's gone. And I wouldn't be surprised if they manufactured
the fake out. And if we can save $15 or $20 million out of this deal settling. Look, with her contract.
I disagree.
She's
that
doing all right.
We're the problem. We're just the consumers. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the machine at NBC was the one that manufactured Megyn Kelly's firing. I wouldn't be surprised if they were the one that perpetuated the problem just enough to make sponsors say, well, I'm out. No, we can't do this now. See, now we're catching the heat for it. And they threw out the apology and they said, we don't stand by her. They made it very clear. She was out on her own. And then and we're going to lose Tide. And that's it. You can't have that kind of garbage. So the retroactive policing of things is scary because, right now it's blackface. What is it tomorrow? The Me Too movement. What is it later? I mean, when it used to be complimenting a woman at work, I mean, think about it. Nobody's outraged, but nobody's doing it. When you used to be able to say, hey, you look beautiful today, used to be an innocuous kind of moment. I would never do it. Right now, there's no way. I'm not outraged. I'm not worried. I'm not anything else. I'm not stepping in that pie. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I won't go down and tell somebody, man, you're absolutely stunning today.
It's funny how during the coronavirus, all this stuff went away for a while.
Yeah, because we had
so now all of a sudden we're starting to come out of it a little bit. So we're right back to our bull crap.
Right. Yeah.
It's really?
Are at each other's throats kind of weirdness. And again,
then we got an election coming. So, of course, it's going to be right wing and left wing.
And here's the other thing. Jimmy Fallon's not doing well in The Tonight Show.
Yeah, this just got a little nice.
So if NBC decided to say this is a good way to get rid of Megyn Kelly, not a bad way to perpetuate the death of The Tonight Show and get rid of him.
We have to be honest. All
or
those
it gets
late
a little
night
hit right now.
Yeah, out of date.
You think of out of date. Jimmy Fallon is losing in a loser's bracket.
It's just a different world.
Yeah, none of those things are doing that great, but Jimmy's not doing good at all. And that's the franchise for NBC. When NBC in the 80s was bad, and I mean bad, losing money bad, Johnny Carson's show carried the network to profits. It was simply The Tonight Show and everyone else. And he was the only one on the whole thing that kept the NBC network from going basically upside down. That's how big that used to be. That is their franchise. And if they could figure out a way to make it big again, which they won't because it's kind of a dead format.
Late night AGT.
Again, we just talked about it. Johnny was the only game in town. Copycats came and went. And then when Johnny went away, everybody kind of evened out because the bar went right back down to medium. So, the copycats were there to try to take Johnny down for years.
We got a message on our Facebook from Teresa. What about Eddie Murphy impersonating white people in that movie Coming to America?
It's not a thing.
Oh, my God. It's circular. You can go after every little thing if you want. This is the thing, though.
But that's where it comes down, is that it's not that you're mad about the Jimmy
I'm going to get you back.
It's race. They race bait. And the news race baits us like crazy, and that's race baiting. They basically
and we jump
say,
on there. That's what I'm saying. We're a bunch of lemmings.
Because we want to be on the right side of
and we,
things.
We love to comment, get sure. on there and be anonymous and make stupid comments.
And the comments aren't so much what anybody pays attention to. It's the clicks. But we get race baited, and we want to be on the right side of stuff. So you go to work, and you're like, isn't this awful? Isn't this awful? Because you don't want to run into the person that says, I think you're awful for defending it. And now all of a sudden, and it might be somebody who goes to your boss, and now you've got this real eggshell kind of like, well, I don't really even want to talk about this with people at my office, just in case I hit the wrong button. And maybe my opinion, when I say, well, I don't think Jimmy Fallon did anything wrong, and then she goes to your boss and says, Dale over there in sales is all for blackface, and yeah. it's making me very uncomfortable. Now all of a sudden, you can't even really discuss it. It's the only place you can make comments safely. Is on the internet or Yahoo or whatever, yeah. because nobody in your office is going to hear you say, I don't know why everybody's so mad, because one person might be, and you just don't play that game anymore. And it's so dangerous to, like, just open conversation and dealing with stuff.
The irony is that Jimmy Fallon's so vanilla.
He is the softest person on television.
It's so crazy.
Which is why his apology makes me mad. His apology makes me mad because everything he's done in between that impression he's in trouble for from 20 years ago, that's been brought up several times, and all of a sudden yesterday caught fire. And the apology yesterday, everything he's done in between as being known as the nicest guy in show business, just fawning over guests to a point where it's nauseating, loving on everything. The only thing Jimmy Fallon's ever done wrong is had the rumor that he's got a problem with drinking, and he almost chopped his own hand off. That's it. And so what? That's personal issues. So, yeah, now there's nothing in between that can retroactively make it so, Jimmy goofed. He's a great guy. I only saw a couple people come out and go, Jimmy's the nicest person in the world. Where's the stand-up for stand-up? Where are that? Because I even said to Frank, I'm like, you know, if it happens to you and somebody says that, well, he did this with that, just say, you know what? It was an impression. And in order to look like somebody, we used to do that. I don't do it anymore because people are too sensitive to it. But that's kind of the art of an impersonation is you put the makeup on to try to look like that person. Are we no longer allowed as white people to do an impression of a black person? Right. Is that next?
Right.
Is that the next, like, voice things? Like, no. And they did it on Saturday Night Live when Fred Armisen was Barack Obama and they didn't have a good person to do it. And they had to go hire Jay Farrow and say, we need a black guy to do it or people will be mad. And it's like, wow, that's strange because – it used to just be we'd wink and nod at the fact Chevy Chase was Gerald Ford and wasn't even trying and nobody cared. It's not – Fred Armisen didn't do the makeup. He just did right. the voice kind of at first.
John,
weird.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but what if NBC, like you said, wants out of their contract?
Yeah, that's what I'm
so
thinking.
So they start cooking up stuff. They have, of course, sponsors that are behind it because they fund the whole show.
We gotta do
and what if
about
that
Jimmy.
Inflames
Is it a
the
big
thing
contract?
To get something about Jimmy?
It's not little.
And then somebody, I guess, tweeted at Marlon Wayans about white chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Marlon Wayans has that when he said, hey, leave him alone. It's no big deal. You know, comedians can stand up for each other and go, we're immune.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
If they just say we're immune to it.
It is ridiculous.
If it's true blackface, understand. Nobody knows what blackface is. Blackface is totally different than makeup to look like. Now, in college dorm rooms and stuff, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're doing an impression,
if you're actually being racist, the great thing is when they drag the Robert Downey Jr. thing. That was the whole point of that movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I don't understand. So like Robert Downey Jr. should apologize. And I'm like, they were making
Did you watch
fun
it?
Of they were making fun of the method acting going so far that the man actually dyed his skin black.
Yeah, they were making fun of it.
It wasn't blackface. He turned himself black. That was the joke.
So ridiculous.
That was the joke.
It's like people that haven't even seen the movie.
Right, but they're the dangerous ones.
Yeah.
The people who don't understand are the ones that stir it and make office places nervous.
Justin Theroux, he was Harry Belafonte. So
is that right?
That's who he was dressing up. When the Prime Minister of Canada. What was his name?
Justin Trudeau. No, Trudeau. Justin Theroux. I was going to say, wait a minute.
That was Jennifer Aniston's.
Yeah, Trudeau has done multiple black faces. He's still the Prime Minister of Canada. And I don't think he should not be.
But I'm saying they were saying blackface, but he was trying to be Harry Belafonte in one. And then,
well, right. He's black, but
he was
the one
black man.
The one he was doing was East Indian.
Yeah,
he dressed up as a Maharaja.
He's done several.
Yeah.
That's the problem we had with Justin.
But is that blackface?
And was it frowned upon at the time to where people lost their minds then? Because I don't think you can
Arabian Nights.
If he's trying to hide it and be like, oh, run. I mean, you just don't know. It's weird. Blackface is you know, it's an avenue you can go down to start. It's, you know, it's the same trap white people. I tell you, you can't sing the N-word in your rap songs out loud on TikTok or anything else. Don't do it. That's not worth it. Now, are you on tape 10 years ago singing one of these things? And is that going to become a problem? That's where I worry. That's where I'm like, all you people on social media that taped yourself thinking it was hilarious to do a Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg song 10, 12 years ago on your deal. And now, you know, somebody finds it and says, look at this. I mean, just throwing the N-word around like nobody's business. It's like, well, I was singing a song. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. That's what we don't do now. The lady, you know, it's the retroactive policing of everything.
But again, would it have stopped if there was no heat? That's the thing. We've gotten to a point now.
I think yes.
Well, here's the thing. We've gotten to a point now where, all right, fine. We get it.
Yeah.
It's not happening no more.
Right.
All right. It's good. We're good to go. Now can we move on, for God's sake?
That's what I'm
wondering.
Don't
go retroactive.
What's the move on?
Everything.
That's what scares me. And that's a great point. When is the move on?
Because I don't know.
All I'm seeing is, well, what's next?
Because it's an easy... Because
when we get bored with blackface, what's next?
It's an easy way for media to get clicks. It's right. So easy. It's just, here you go. Look at this. Look what this guy did 20 years ago. If they have nothing now to grab onto, then they're going to go... They'll go in the Wayback Machine.
And that's their biz.
And here's the thing we've done.
Eat it up.
Yep. We can eat it up, but we've also volunteered all the information. Throwing it up there on Facebook and saying, here's what I did 12 years ago.
Yeah. So it may not end.
Which is why I always argue with people who say, hey, if a cop wants to go through my house and look around, he can. I don't care. You want to go through my phone? I'm not hiding anything. You're not hiding anything now until they find something that they don't like from 10 years ago. Well, I mean, wait a minute. I didn't know you were looking at that. That's why I always defended Tom Brady, which still breaks my heart to this day. When the NFL said, give us your phone. We'll only find pertinent information. He's like, I probably have $70 million worth of photos of my wife's breasts on that phone. You're telling me none of your guys are going to screen cap one and leak it? Kobe's death crash had people taking photos of it. You're telling me you go through Tom Brady's phone with only the pertinent information? Yeah. You're not going to find a picture of Giselle's cans on there?
It was him and Aaron Hernandez.
Or that. Right. Or something else that he kept private isn't illegal or an issue. That, you know,
right.
It wasn't illegal to hang out with Aaron Hernandez unless you were there the nights he was killing
people.
Yeah, we only want to see this doughboy text. I'm like, I'm not giving you my phone because you'll look for things. If you're after me and you want to find things, you'll find things. You'll, out of context, make something big out of nothing, and it's unfair. It's just the weirdest thing that society has turned into this weird, well, go ahead. I volunteered my entire past, and now it's up for scrutiny. And that's crazy to me. But yeah, I'm defending Jimmy Fallon and Tom Brady. I've gone crazy. I wouldn't mind seeing Jimmy Fallon go away.
But look at isn't it amazing how the reaction at first, it's like, oh, I can't believe he did that. Got rid of his phone. He should.
Oh,
yeah, Tom Brady. It was quite the opposite.
For most people, I was loving it.
And
I thought,
you don't realize
move.
All of a sudden there's the reason why he did it.
You question it because it looks like you're hiding something.
It looks worse.
When you break your phone.
I'll break my phone all day if Tripp says, hey, I want to go through your phone. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, watch. There's nothing to go through. I'll break it. You don't have a right to my stuff. You don't have a right to it. That's it.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If I'm innocent.
I am innocent.
I'm just talking from Tom Brady's perspective, all right? They're coming after you for Deflategate.
Right.
They pinpoint the day of that game. I go, here's all my texts from that game. You can see that.
Sure.
I'll show you. Right.
But then they would turn that immediately and say, he gave us the information he wanted us to see. It makes it look worse.
But you can.
The best thing
If I'm totally innocent, I might go an extra step or two just to go,
I'll cooperate.
Look at all this. There's nothing there.
I'll completely cooperate. And he said that several times. I'll cooperate with every bit of your investigation. You don't get to go through my stuff at home. This isn't a crime, by the way.
Right.
You don't get to go through my phone, and you're certainly not going to investigate me. No. I'll answer your questions, but that's as far as this goes. He was 100% right there.
But I don't see anything wrong with him.
None.
Pulling that out. Going, and if you're innocent.
He gave him.
If you're innocent.
He gave him the texts.
No.
Yeah, he did. That's why they got out. Because he and that guy said, here's where they're different. Because the one guy leaked some things that said, here's the thing.
I think
and
that
Tom
was
Brady,
their perspective. Tom Brady
showed the NFL in that
you're
thing.
You're sure about that?
Not all of his texts, but stuff that contradicted what that guy sent. Said, here's stuff in the middle that he didn't send you.
I don't know.
And that
about
was
that.
It. No, it was on the investigation, and that's when the phone thing happened. They're like, well, let me see it. And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not giving you my phone. I told you what you needed to know. I just showed you a text he didn't send you.
Because I thought the only leaks were the
stuff. Oh, no,
those
weren't public,
people.
But in the NFL thing, if you read the NFL investigations of Belichick and Tom Brady,
The stuff we didn't find out is unreal, and it's in their records. The secret room of tapes for Belichick, the room he only had a key to in Foxborough, the room that was filled with notes on other teams that no one else saw, none of the players knew about, with terminology and breakdowns of things. It's unreal.
And whether or not, you know, I still, yeah.
And you just gotta read the investigation.
I question some of that, you know, because that's how all these stories get out there. Like, I don't know if that's...
Well, that's in the NFL's investigation. That's public information. For whatever reason, that's public. But you can go in the 30 for 30 specials, like, this is the public info that we know. What you know, what you don't know, and what got leaked, who knows? But the stuff that they're willing to push forward, and the NFL saying, here's what we found, and that's what that is. The NFL saying, there was a secret room and all this. Like, wow. The NFL wouldn't go out of their way to do that. But, yeah, Tom Brady, they wanted his face or his whole phone because he was showing them. I don't know if those went public, but in the investigation, he's like, Tom Brady cooperated completely until we asked for his phone. He was showing us things that said, that's not exactly how this went down. And it's, you know, you got to defend Tom Brady. It's something's wrong with the investigation because I'm all for. I wanted him to go to jail. I would have loved that. I wanted something in there that said, yes, Aaron, kill him. That would have been a great text leaked. Didn't happen. But yeah, I just don't think that the retroactive policing and all the things that are going on with society, I just wonder what's next. What's going to be the next thing that we did 20 years ago that kind of were like, eh, maybe that's sketchy, but not necessarily bad. That's going to turn into something awful. And I think about it. Over the last 5 years, it's telling a woman she has nice hair, you know, just being uncomfortable in a conversation. Bosses won't sit in a room with a female employee without someone else being in there now. It's the Mike Pence rule. We all laughed at Mike
Which
Pence.
Which comes from Billy Graham.
Yeah, 4 years ago, Mike Pence was laughed hysterically. Ah, I wouldn't go to a dinner with a woman without my wife. I won't be in a room alone with a woman without
Elevator.
My wife. Everybody's like, you're insane. This guy's insane. It's like, that's the greatest advice you could ever give somebody today. Ever. I won't get on an elevator with a woman that I know alone. No thanks. You guys, and it's Mike Pence basically saying, they're all sketchy. You can't trust them. But it wasn't the way he said it. It's pretty hilarious. Anyway, give us a wake-up song. It's a strange world we wake up in every day. 585-9800, a good one, and we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Yeah, I want it.
You really, really, really want it?
Yes, I really want it.